Okay, and this is Yerushalayim, Resh Hay, Ice Base. Why don't we need to talk about Shiva? We'll finish it that way.
isn't it by Chassidim until Shmini Atzeres?
But really,
Shana Rabba. Shana Rabba, yeah. Shabbos Hanukkah, right.
It's really real.
And then Purim.
Okay. Rachmai Achid Va'atshuva. Just like the sin and tshuva, k'maychein, so also kolo aliyos vayirida shel ha'adam k'shurim v'midas ha'dveikus. So also all of a person's ascents and descents in the spirituality depend on a person's connection to Hashem. Kol ma'atzah sheYehudi oseh, he explains, every act that a Jew does, oseh mekarva l'shechina u'mizdavak al-yidei zeh l'Hashem Yisboch, either that act brings the person closer to Hashem, and he becomes connected to Hashem through this act, oseh mesrachik mena, or it distances the person from Hashem. There's no parv. No parv. Either the act will bring you closer to Hashem, or it will distance you from Hashem.
It's either up or down.
Yeah. Okay, or as he says, the way he words it, it's closer or further.
I think those sweet rolls bring you away.
Huh?
Never mind.
Ke'ein ha'maza hazeh oyle le'nachasruach lefana. Right, the reason why it would distance a person from Hashem is because that act is not something that brings a nachas ruach to Hashem, that brings pleasure to Hashem. So to say.
There's no neutral acts. I guess he's going to deal with this.
There is no neutral act.
Is he going to explain this or?
I think we've learned about it numerous times.
How about when you're sleeping? Isn't that a neutral act?
No, it's when you went to sleep. Did you go to sleep in order to have koyach to serve Hashem, or did you go to sleep because you just wanted to indulge in the pleasure of sleep?
What if you were just that tired?
Huh?
What if you were just that tired?
So then you go to sleep for a reason.
Okay. So, but I'm saying then the act of sleeping
there's got to be a difference
from the beginning.
You are dead tired and the guy is dead tired. Both of you want to sleep. What is the difference between your sleep and the guy's sleep?
I'd like to get up to go to shul in the morning.
So, but there should be some thought about that.
The question is, you can understand why Avera is distinction from Hashem. That's obvious. But
you're sleeping,
something
you're
like
eating everything it needs to be.
Cutting the grass. Or, you know, just doing some normal activity, brushing your teeth or something.
Right.
And I understand you could say, I'm brushing my teeth so that, so on and so on. But if you don't, you just stop brushing your teeth. Why is this distancing you from Hashem? That's the question.
If you recall, the Baal HaTanya in the first couple of, I'm not sure which one it is, explains that he also, he also brings this concept that there are acts that come from the kedusha, which are the acts of the mitzvahs. Then there are acts that come from the shalish klipas atmeis, from the three tame klipas. Those are the averis. And then there's an area called klipas noiga, which is a klipa light. And he said those are all neutral acts. He says those can either be drawn into mitzvahs or they can be drawn into the shalosh klipas hatmeis, depending on a person's intention and also depending on what the person eventually does with it. So if I eat, let's say, and I'm not thinking about why I'm eating, but after I eat I go and learn or I go and daven. So he said I ended up elevating that food, that eating to kedusha, but if I afterwards I went and I did an avera with that koyach,
had a beer and watched a football game.
But he's saying, I went and I, with that click, I went in and I cut the grass.
What?
I went, he said,
what is your intention of cutting the grass? Cutting the grass, I'm sure it can be a holy act.
Well, it could be, but I'm asking if you, I understand how you could elevate these things, but if you're just plain just cutting the grass, you're just plain brushing your teeth with no particular intention at all.
Well, a yid should learn to do things with specific
question,
intention.
So the question is, I understand you can do it to make it an elevating act, but, and maybe you've just answered it already, in which case it is a neutral act, which depends on... I brush my teeth, I'm half asleep, I don't have any particular intention except to brush my teeth.
But because you did that, you had, when you were 96 years old, you still had teeth, you were able to eat matzah.
So I say, I understand how it could be elevated, like with those thoughts. But if you're not doing that, how is that unelevated, or whatever you call it?
It's automatically. It's either going to go one way or the other. An axe sometimes will sit with the clippers for a long time until it's
okay. So then, that sense, it is a neutral act, depending on what you do later. So then, really, it's what you do later that's the elevating or the non-elevating.
Rav Shlomo, what did you say? Right. Right, I just said that if you're not thinking, then it eventually could be elevated if you do something right with your teeth. You're beautifying Hashem's world.
I mean, a from a yid should look like a mensch and clean.
Yeah. I understand how you can elevate anything. The question is, if you don't do it, I'm in a different category right now.
My father always tells a story about this person was walking along, and there was this yard that was totally.
It wasn't
taken care of, and there was, you know, short, tall grass, and it was terrible. It was a bad scene. So then a couple weeks later, or a couple months later, he was walking by, and there's a person working in that yard, and it's beautiful. There's grass, and this thing starting to grow, and it's a really, really beautiful thing. So the passerby says to the person working in the field, "That's a pretty nice yard you and God put together." The guy answers, "Yeah, you should have seen it when God had it all to himself." Yeah. The Iker. What? If we don't do our part, it's not gonna. Things don't look nice. The Iker is binding us by his amkus. She Yehudim chuyv le is binding. The main focus and contemplation that a person is obligated to, the person is obligated to focus and to weigh each action, before a person does anything, or says anything, or thinks anything, the focus needs to be, is this something that is going to bring me closer to Hashem or further from Hashem? The same thing applies to all tests of life. In Nisyon is not necessarily specifically something that some type of desire that Yetzer Hara is attracting a person to, or other type of nisyonis a person would imagine would be, you know, some wrong type of hashkafas, what's hashkafa? Hashkafas.
Yeah.
Philosophies. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. Rather, the Yetzirah sometimes sets up many different types of affliction, whether it's physical or spiritual, to the point that a person feels that he's being pushed away from heaven, and he's being distanced from Hashem. It seems as if our prayers are not answered, because they have been repulsed. The person feels like there's an iron barrier between himself and his Father in heaven. That is the most difficult nesayin, when a person feels distance from Hashem. At that point, the person is obligated, the Jew is obligated to stand up with all strength of Kedusha that he has within him, and to believe with absolute faith, that even when I walk in the valleys of death, I will not fear because I know, Hashem, that you are with me. Wow, this is beautiful. He says, the understanding of a nesayin. He says like this. Shema hadevekus hi ba'atzem. He says like this. If a person's connection to Hashem is real, ein hamikra mafrid, then no coincidence will be able to come between. Vim hadevekus hi b'mikra, and if a person's connection is by coincidence, Yovai Mikra Achar V'Yafrid, then another coincidence can come and separate that. It's a very deep part.
Just say that again.
Yeah, he says if a person's connection is permanent, then no coincidence can come between himself and Hashem.
What does that mean?
If a person's connection to Hashem is something real,
right?
So then, a good root.
So coincidences that seem to distance him from Hashem, meaning, now he's not talking about averus right now, but he's talking about nisyonis. He's talking about a person that has a test where he feels distance. Those times when we feel distance from Hashem, we feel like our tefillahs are not being answered, we don't feel the connection. Right, so he says, if the person's connection is something that is real, meaning the person, the person's connection to Hashem is something central in their life, then these coincidences, a person should realize, even when these coincidences happen, when the person feels disconnected, a person needs to know that that's just an assignment, and the connection is ongoing, whether he feels it or not. One second. But if the person's connection is a temporary connection, his connection is by coincidence, then other coincidences can come between him and Hashem. I think that that really what he's saying is I think he's defining the person that is able to withstand an assignment, the person is not able. He said, if the person is a person whose focus is on connection to Hashem, and that's the type of person that no coincidence will be able to distance him from Hashem.
The problem is the use of the word coincidence.
Right, that's what I was going to ask, because I thought there are no coincidences.
No, he's using the word mikra, meaning as something...
An occurrence.
Okay, occurrences.
Thank coincidence.
From our perspective, it looks like a coincidence.
Right, an occurrence is definitely a better word.
In a random event.
From our perspective.
Right, occurrence is a better word, definitely a better word. Right, so once again, let's try this again. Well, If a person's devekus is essential, then no occurrence can separate him from that connection. But if the person's devekus is an occurrence, then other occurrences can separate him from that connection. Chala avdus shel balei avoda hoya inyan hazeh lishmer al devekus v'Hashem. The entire service of those who are servants of Hashem was this concept, was to maintain, to preserve the Dveikus Hashem. So basically what he has said here in this paragraph is that Dveikus Hashem is the central point of a person's life. And before a person says, thinks, or does anything, the way the person needs to weigh whether to do it, whether to say it, is this something that is going to bring me closer to Hashem? Is this something that is going to enhance my dveikus? Or is this something that is going to distance me from Hashem?
I mean, but he is suggesting that there are two operational levels, right? One is that sense in the heart that I'm disconnected from God. And that occurs to me periodically. That's the nature of Ruchnius.
Right, he's called that a Nisoyan.
That's the Nisoyan, right? And that's, you know, I feel totally disconnected. I don't feel the Ribbono Shel Olam. So then he says, but there's something that's called Dveikus, which is a different operational level. That is an awareness that's not necessarily in the heart. Dveikus is an awareness of the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam in you. If you are connected to that level of awareness, then the Nisoyan that's occurring on a periodic level isn't going to look like a mikra, like a happenstance or a coincidence. But because you're connected at the awareness level, the emotional ups and downs will not trigger you and put you off. Isn't that what he's saying?
Yeah, I think that's what he's saying. Yeah.
If a person thinks of Hashem before we do anything, how is that going to be different? Like every time I make a bracha, and sometimes when I make the bracha, it's mechanical. Does it become mechanical where you're thinking of Hashem?
Oh, I can't. I think that's the opposite of mechanical.
Well, you could make a bracha in a mechanical way.
No, he asked about this mashava. If a person will always be thinking, this is going to connect me, this is going to distance me, can that become mechanical? I don't think that.
It's not necessarily being said, but it's understood, to follow up with what Doc was saying, that second operational level where the Dveikus has to be, you know it up in here, but it has to filter down into the heart. That Dveikus can't just be an intellectual connection. It has to be a complete connection that encompasses both the upper and the lower, the heart and the mind.
And that can only happen with the occurrences that you encounter.
Right, the Chassidish Sfarim say that the distance between the person's head and heart is further than Mizrach to Ma'arav. It's further than all the way to the east and the west. But nevertheless, you know, it's a tremendous madriga to have that in your heart as well.
Rabbi Dr. Akiva Tat said that. He said that this, it's like furthest distance in the world.
Um, I'm inside of Avodah. Seeing the Yisrael of Avodah, she may be in Yonim Ufloim, b'shem HaRambam b'mayir Nebuchim, b'in Yonim Advekus. He brings from the Rambam tremendous concept in the area of the concept of Dveikus, of connection, or maybe Shom B'shemoi, and he brings in the name of the Rambam, Shekol HaMikrim HaRoim, Shekoidim Gam La'anshe HaMailim, that even the bad occurrences that happen to great people, Hanaviim, such as the prophets, Chassidim, Ashleimim, or the pious and the Shleimim, people that are whole, that bad occurrence was only able to occur during a time of separation where the person was not experiencing that connection.
It's actually like a short circuit.
This is the known from the Briskerov. It was known that they tell the story about that he was connected to Einoid Mavada. He had this concept of, he said that if a person is conscious of Einoid Mavada, that there is nothing besides Hashem, and nothing bad can happen to the person at that time. You know, the whole story, the Briskerov was...
Crossing to Switzerland.
What was it?
Crossing the border into Switzerland in 1941.
No? What was it?
So the Swiss border police was turning the Jews back from Germany to Switzerland. And the path through the Jungfrau Joch that he was taking was known to be a trap. And so Revelvel says about his father, David says about Revelvel that I was a child and I was walking by him and he kept telling me just concentrate on Eino Fulvadra. And they passed right past a very scary point where the Swiss guard was there and they just walked right through.
I can tell you that this, it's, you know, that's tremendous, but I find it very difficult that 6 million people weren't connected.
That's difficult.
Yeah. Buzz.
That was already in a different category, you know. I mean, it's zero.
Buzz b'shashu and nivdal mashem yisborach, says the Rambam. At that time, when the person is separated from Hashem, who mezumah l'chora, then bad occurrences can happen. But at the time when a person is connected, lo yo'una lo chora, no bad occurrence can happen to him. And the Rambam leans this on the pasuk, histarti ponai mehem. Where it says, Hashem says, I will conceal my face from them, and they will be, this is that, and they will be left to be consumed. And many bad things and troubles will happen to them. And he will say on that day, "Haloi al kiena lekai v'kirbi matzuna rosoila." And he will say on that day, "The reason for this is because my God is not within me. That is how these bad things happen to me." So the Rambam says, he learns from this pasuk that when it's only when ena lekai v'kirbi, it's only when my God is not within me, only then can there happen matzuna rosoila. Only then can bad occurrences happen. But if a person is fully connected, no bad occurrence can happen.
So when Rambam himself was forced with his family out of his house, and all of his farm were burned, what? He wasn't connected? Is that what he's saying?
I asked a better question.
Huh?
Yeah, so what's the answer?
Even the question, you don't want to put in the answer, not even the question.
The other thing, with that pasuk, it says, Bayam Hahu, and we've talked before about what Yom HaHu means, right. And to say that this is Yom HaHu, Yom HaHu, I will not.
No, it's the Yom HaHu, Hashem. So the way this Lurush HaShavas learned it. Oh, they say, Yom HaHu, how can you say Yom HaHu?
That's what makes this pasuk really terrifying.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if it's in this book.
He asked that question, but the answer is Reb Zisha.
That what? Oh, that they don't feel the wrath.
Tzaddik doesn't feel anything. He only feels the vacant.
Yeah, but he's saying, but he's making a statement.
He's saying that to him is not ra. He's saying,
Yeah, I got arrested. Okay, now I'm in jail. I'm being tortured by the Nazis. But this is wonderful.
But we also learned in Tanya that time. I remember that there's really no ra because everything. There's really no ra anyways. It may seem like it's ra to us, but it's really all type anyways.
That's anything. That's Bonhoeffer.
What?
Jail. I could
Bonhoeffer sitting in a Nazi jail, it's the same thing, yeah.
Or Rabbi Akiva with the
Romans. Right, yeah, Rabbi Akiva didn't have any issues.
There's a rishon. I tell you were sitting at the table there when he said there's a rishon that says that when somebody is killed al kiddush Hashem, the person feels no pain. Huh? That's what brings it. What?
There's actually in 1909.
How do you do that?
There was a Chinese a person who was convicted in China of dealing with drugs or whatever, and they. They condemned him to 1,000 cuts. So they tied him to a pole, and basically they basically just slice his skin 1,000 times, which is the most unbelievable torture. For the first time, a Western photographer was able to take a picture of his face as they were doing it, and he looked like he was in ecstasy. I mean, Mamashi felt he was just.
He had a little bit too much of those drugs before.
Someone said they'd given him a bit of morphia beforehand. But a number of scholars have talked about this, the ecstasy before the crucifixion, the ecstasy before this kind of cutting, that there is this psychological state of, you know, when you know that you're about to die. I mean, it's not unheard of.
It's like the Hasidim dancing in Auschwitz right before they were shot.
Right.
All right, we're going to
cuff us around the.
Actually, they were shot, they were
into the.